Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
Father, I pray that you will take whatever we've prepared to serve your children, this meal, this spiritual meal, take it and use it to bring transformation and encouragement to your people. Speak, I pray, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said. Now, talking about theater, I was reminded as a little boy, my parents used to take us as children to a church, and I thank God that they were taking us to church. And in the Sunday school, the children's church, that's what it was called then, every Easter, we had a chance to act. And so, believe it or not, I'm an actor. And so, as children, you can do anything. But the only challenge was this. Every Easter, I was acting one of two things, either as a Pharisee or a Roman soldier. And a man would come, and as a Pharisee, you'd be on the wrong side of Jesus' teaching. And as a Roman soldier, we would crucify Jesus. And I remember crucifying. And by the way, Jesus was the most well-behaved girl. The most well-behaved in the class was a little girl who got the opportunity to act as Jesus. Anything happens when you're a child, you can act anywhere. And we would crucify her. And I remember coming with all our Roman costumes. Save yourself if you're the Son of God. And acting that way. But you know what? As I was reflecting, yeah, we were trying to act what happened at Easter time. And it's not just a story. It is a powerful story of our salvation. It's not just history. It is a significant part of history where God sent his Son so you and I could be redeemed, forgiven, and healed, and reconciled back to God. That's what it is about. So it's not just a historical bet. And so I want to encourage you that today, as we continue pressing into the Word of God, focusing especially on the journey Jesus took from Gethsemane to the cross and picking out some of the things that he said, that you will be put in a place again where you fall in love with Jesus, where you're in awe of what he did. During this time that we remember the price that he paid at the cross. But also for those of you who may not know Jesus, so that you will get to know his love. Last week we saw the scenario where Jesus was in Gethsemane and he was carrying the whole weight of the burden of what he was about to experience, paying that price. And Jesus took three of his friends, Peter, John, and James, who were also tired and they were heavy-eyed and they couldn't stay with him in prayer. But Jesus left them behind and he went into this garden, fell on his knees. The Bible describes that scene. He began to sweat and his sweat was like drops of blood because it was heavy that what he was going to carry. And he prayed, God, if you can take this cup of suffering away from me. But then he submitted, said, not my will, but yours be done. The highest form of surrender is to submit your will to God's will. And he did that. And right there when he woke up his friend three times, they were falling asleep on him, and there his betrayer came, Judas Iscariot, and betrayed him with a kiss,
which was a symbol of friendship to those you really dearly love. But this time, the symbol turned into betrayal. And you know the story. He was arrested and he went through trial, which was really a mockery. And Simon Peter, who had said to Jesus, I am going to be with you through thick and thin. It doesn't matter. He tried. The rest of the disciples went. He tried and he was there during the trial. And he was watching. He was really there. And like, I'm with you, Jesus. Until a little girl came and said, you look like one of his buddies. Peter said, what are you talking about? And then he moved away. She says, but I think you're one of his friends. Peter said, come on. You must be mistaken. She came again. I'm really convinced, this time catching the attention of the people around, that you're one of his buddies. Peter, if you were that, now I like some theater, he even laughs and he swears and he says, I don't know this man. And his eyes locked with Jesus. And his heart was broken. He went away and cried. And Jesus began to be mocked by the soldiers, beaten. I mean, I don't think there's any way to describe what he went through, but the Romans had perfected the art of crucifixion in a way that they would inflict on you a very slow, painful, and publicly shameful death. And they did it in such a gruesome way so that if you ever thought of rebelling against the Roman rule, you wouldn't. And that's what innocent Jesus went through. And he was crucified with criminals on one side and on the other. And there, as Jesus hung between the earth he created and the heavens he created, on his side were criminals. He was an innocent man, and surrounded were people he had loved, he had cared for. And they are the same people who were saying, crucify him, crucify him. As he hung in the middle of that cross, he said something. In Luke 23, verse 33 to 34, it says, when they came to the place called the skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. A great prayer. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Why is that phrase important? And it's the one we're going to concentrate on. That prayer that Jesus prayed on the cross is so important because right there, Jesus reveals something about God the Father. He reveals the heart of God the Father. And this is his heart. God's heart is full of mercy. Wow. I love the fact that God is full of mercy. Many of us love the grace of God because the grace of God means we get what we do not deserve. But when it comes to the mercy of God, which transforms the way you view yourself and view God and view others, mercy is not getting what we truly deserve. We deserved punishment. We deserved death. But because God is merciful, he decided to put all of that on his son, Jesus. Psalm 145 verse 8 and 9 says, the Lord is gracious and is full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. God's mercy is expressed through his forgiveness. God's mercy is expressed through his forgiveness. And today I want to talk more about that forgiveness from God and three aspects of God's forgiveness, even as we reflect on that prayer where Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Number one, God's forgiveness is available to all people. There is no special group of people that deserve God's forgiveness more than others. Now, as human beings, we have a forgiveness list. We have those who are on priority list of forgiveness. Whatever they do, you'll forgive them immediately. Then there are those who are on not really priority. They have to somewhat earn that forgiveness. And some of us have a list of the unforgivable ones. That's how we are as human beings. But when it comes to God, there is no category that cannot qualify for his forgiveness. He forgives all. He forgives. When Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them, in that place were people he had loved and now had turned away from him. In that place were disciples who had run away from him. In that same place were the Roman soldiers who were hurting him. In that same place when he prayed were two thieves hanging on the cross, each on his side, who still had the opportunity to experience his forgiveness. God's forgiveness is available to all. Never write yourself off from being a recipient of the mercy of God that is expressed in his forgiveness. Romans chapter 3 says this, there is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. My friends, God's mercy is expressed through forgiveness for all people. But secondly, God forgives all sin. Not only does he forgive all people can qualify for his forgiveness. Secondly, his mercy is expressed through his forgiveness for every kind of sin. Now let me say it again, because I've said it. We human beings will have a way we prioritize those who can be forgiven, but we also have a way we rate sin. There are small sins, easy to forgive. The big ones. And it is even harder when we label ourselves in the big sins. We think we must do something extra to earn God's forgiveness. Because our brains categorize sin. And then Satan begins to take advantage of that. And so he begins to say, "You, with what you have done, And you begin to think, maybe I should do this more. I should try this more. Because in your mind, your sin is too bad. I've got good news for you. Human beings, we may rate sin. We may rank forgiveness. But when it comes to God, all sin can be forgiven because of his mercy and the blood that is shed on the cross at Calvary. There is no sin beyond the reach of the mercy of God. And so, my friends, if you're one of those that is somehow falling for the lie that I'm too bad, I've done so many bad things, I am beyond the mercy of God. You are not. When Jesus was on that cross and he said, Father, forgive them, he was saying there's nothing our Father in heaven cannot forgive. That goes for any sin we have committed in the past. It goes for any sin we may be struggling with in the present. But also because he's a God of mercy. Even tomorrow, when we fail, he's ready to forgive us. He's ready to forgive us. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2 says, he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. David, in reflection on this God of mercy, he says in Psalm 103, praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins. Wow. What a God of mercy. Not only does he forgive all people, he can forgive all sin. We're talking about forgiveness. This God of mercy, he will forgive all people. He will forgive all sin. But listen to this, my friends. He will forgive confessed sin. That is so important. Because I've had some people who have said, you don't need to confess your sin. You don't need to repent. Jesus paid it all. The danger with that teaching is this. It can make you take the mercy of God for granted. He forgives confessed sin. Sin that has been acknowledged. Sin that has been confessed and said, I'm sorry. You see, if we have unconfessed sin, hidden sin, it makes us a slave. And Satan likes to use that sin as a reference point to hold you as a slave. I heard of a story of a little boy called Johnny. Now, Johnny was an adventurous young boy, and he was out with grandma and grandpa, with his sister. And so, grandma blessed little Johnny with a slingshot. And he went into the woods because he was adventurous and he was trying out this new gift and he was looking out for birds that he could hunt and he missed the target so bad and then he tried to get his target right because he was just beginning to learn how to use it. And he kept missing every time until it was evening and it was dinner time. So little Johnny had to go home and he thought to himself, well, I'll again try tomorrow. But when he was getting home, he saw grandma's pet duck getting back home as well. And little Johnny said, let me just give it a try. I've been missing. And boom, dead straight in between grandma's pet duck's head, right in between his eyes. And it fell and died. Little Johnny, in panic, looked around. What have I done? And so he rushed, picked the pet duck, and he covered it with leaves and woods, and he buried it, hoping no one had seen him. And as soon as it finished, he lifted his eyes, and his sister Sally was right there watching everything. As they were having dinner, grandma, grandpa didn't talk about the pet duck, had dinner, and as dinner was done, it was Sally's turn to wash the dishes. So grandma said, hey, Sally, time to wash the dishes. Sally responded and said, oh, no, don't you worry, grandma. Johnny has decided he will help me wash the dishes tonight. And she whispered to Johnny, Remember the dark? Johnny went and washed the dishes. Next morning, breakfast was Johnny's turn to wash. Of course, he washed. And that day, Grandma had decided that Sally would remain with her and help in preparing lunch. And so Johnny was supposed to go with Grandpa fishing. And Grandpa came and said, "Hey, Johnny, are you ready to go fishing?" Sally said, "Oh, no, Grandpa, don't you worry. I'll go with you fishing." Johnny has said he will help Grandma with the dishes, with making the meal. And so Johnny stayed behind and helped Grandma to prepare the meal. This went on for days until Johnny couldn't take it anymore. He was doing his chores and doing Sally's chores. And Sally would simply say, "Remember the duck." That's all she would say. So one day Johnny went to Grandma and said, "Grandma, I have something to tell you." Grandma said, "What?" Said, "I mistakenly used the slingshot you gave me as a gift. And I killed your pet duck. And I want to say I'm sorry." Grandma said, "I was looking out the window when all of that was happening." "And Johnny, I already forgave you. I was only waiting for you to come and confess your sin." Listen, my friends, hidden, unconfessed sin is food for the devil to torment you and hold you as a slave. Not only will Satan hold you as a slave for unconfessed sin, people who know what you did and you've not confessed will hold you hostage of unconfessed sin. I've got good news for you. You don't need to be a slave anymore. You don't need to hide anymore. Just like Grandma was watching everything, God knows everything. He's only waiting for you to say, "I confess my sin." And that yoke of slavery will be broken because He's merciful and He wants you to be free. Father, forgive. He forgives confessed sin. Here's what 1 John chapter 1 verse 8 and 10 says. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. He will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Would you give the God of mercy a hand clap of praise? Father, forgive them. God's mercy expressed through His forgiveness. He forgives all people. He forgives all sin. He forgives confessed sin. What should our response be? Number one, today if you're here and you're struggling with sin, receive God's mercy. Receive His mercy. His mercy is new every morning. That's what the prophet Jeremiah says. Hebrews chapter 4 and verses 14 to 16 says this. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. He can. He knows we are weak. But we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet He did not sin. And here's the response to that. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. So that what? So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let's approach God's throne. Yes, we deserve judgment, but Jesus took our judgment. We deserve punishment. Jesus took our punishment. So let's come boldly, without fear, to God, to his throne of grace, so we can receive mercy. I challenge you to do that today, so you can receive his mercy. The mercy of God will change everything in your relationship with God and in how you view yourself and other people. Receive his mercy. Receive his forgiveness. Secondly, let's extend his mercy. Freely we receive his mercy. Freely let's extend his mercy. Just like we offend God many times in our attitudes, in our thoughts, in the things that we do. Listen, my friends, we live in a real world, in relationships where we offend others and others will offend us. And we need to extend forgiveness like Jesus showed us on the cross. Even when people were hurting and harming him, yet he did nothing. He still said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. My friend, I'm asking you today, will you be an extension of mercy to people that have hurt you? To people that have offended you? Extend forgiveness. This is so important because when we harbor unforgiveness in our hearts, we give the enemy a foothold. We become prisoners to those that we hold grudges with. Today, as we receive his mercy, let's extend mercy. And this is so important because here's what Matthew says in chapter 6 and verse 14 and 15. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Wow. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Failing to extend mercy to others will block you from receiving mercy from God. So I want to challenge you today. If there's people that need to receive your mercy, extend it to them by forgiving them. I know it's hard. I know what they did was so bad. I know they may have repeated the same offense over and over. But today, by the grace of God, extend mercy. I know every one of us has ever experienced failure. I know every single one of us has failed more than once at the same thing. I know we have offended people. The way you desired to receive that mercy, extend that mercy. Extend that mercy as well. But finally, let's preach his mercy. Let's tell the world about our merciful God. How he forgives all people. How he forgives all sin. How this great God is only waiting for people to say, Father, forgive me, and they will receive his forgiveness. Let's be people that preach about his mercy. We live in a world that has been blinded by Satan. and blinded by Satan from them seeing the love of God, the mercy of God. And there's people who move around feeling like they must qualify for His mercy, feeling like they have done so bad, they don't qualify for His love, they don't deserve His love. Listen, that is the story for all of us. None of us deserves His love, none of us deserves His mercy, but for God so loved the world that He gave His Son Jesus, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting. That is still powerful. It is for everyone. Let us preach about His mercy, that He forgives. He forgives all. Here's what Paul said, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 17 to 21. Paul says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. That's what happens when you're born again. He makes you a new person. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of telling people about this merciful God who's reconciling the world to Himself. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We, everybody say we. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you, Paul goes on to say, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. It was a message He was giving to the people in Corinth. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. That's the message of mercy. That's the good news of Easter. God's mercy extended to all. So God is a God of mercy. We see that as Jesus hung on that cross, in the midst of pain and exhaustion inflicted by the very ones He came to save, He cried, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. Father, forgive them. God's heart of mercy expressed in that little prayer. God's mercy expressed through forgiveness for all people, forgiveness for all sin, forgiveness for confessed sin. Do you need to experience His forgiveness today? We simply need to receive that forgiveness, His mercy. And for some of us today as well, freely we've received, we need to extend mercy to others. And then through this season, let's tell people about His mercy. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank You so much that You're a God of mercy. We thank You so much that Your mercy is extended to all people. There's no sin beyond the reach of Your mercy. And all You're waiting for is for us to respond and receive that mercy. While all heads are bowed and eyes are closed in this place, might be watching online as well. So you have lived your life and you know that somehow you're not in the right place with God. And here's what I know. You experiencing some level of darkness in your life and guilt and shame and lies from Satan that you don't qualify for his mercy. And for some of you, Satan is telling you, oh, you walked away from him. You think he's just going to receive you. And he's deceived you. You think you must do certain things in order to earn his mercy. Listen, my friends. All you need to do is to receive his mercy and forgiveness today by faith. By simply asking him. None of us qualifies for it. We all simply receive. And if that's you in the building, watching online, and you're saying, hey, Pastor, I want to receive God's mercy. I want to experience the power of his forgiveness. I'm tired of covering up sin and living a double life. I'm tired of allowing sin to dominate me. Today, I want to receive his mercy. I want Jesus to be my Lord and my Savior. Whoever you are, if you're watching online, on air, there is instructions for you on what to do. But if you're in the building, I'd love to pray with you. Let me see you. Just raise your hand. Say, pray with me, Pastor. I need to receive that mercy. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, madam. God bless you. Just lift your hand. Thank you. I see that hand. God bless you, my friend. God bless you. Thank you. You're here today. You're saying, I'm in need of that mercy. I'm in need of experiencing his forgiveness. Up says, thank you. When you raise your hand, a friend of mine is going to come to you. Thank you, madam. God bless you. God bless you. He's here for you. He's not here to judge you. He loves you. He already put the judgment on his son, Jesus. And all we need to do is to receive him. Is there any other person like that? You're saying, hey, that's me, Pastor. Would you pray with me? Thank you, sir. God bless you. Thank you. Right at the back. God bless you. God bless you. If I've not seen your hand, just lift it a little higher. A friend of mine is going to come to you. Thank you. Thank you. If you raise your hand right now, I would like you to repeat this prayer. In fact, every single one of us, online, on air, those in the room, I would like you to repeat this prayer. Say, dear Jesus, I thank you that you love me. And today, I choose to receive your mercy. Forgive me of all my sin and make me a child of God. I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that right now you are my Lord, you are my Savior, and I am your child. In your name I pray. Amen, amen. Come on, let's celebrate our friends. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for praying that prayer. Today you join the family of God. Welcome to the family of God. A little bit later we'll let you know what to do. But for the rest of us, as we were preparing this message, it wasn't just for those who didn't know Jesus. This is a message for every single one of us. Who knows that we are struggling with some sin that somehow keeps dominating us? And it makes us carry guilt, and somehow we may cover it up. Today is our day to bring it before God and not to be slaves to sin anymore. But it's also a day for freedom in our hearts by extending forgiveness to others. So I'd like us to stand in the final moments of our service today. And I just want to give you a moment of reflection and response. What is it that the Holy Spirit is saying to you right now? I know he's speaking to you about some aspects of your life. And I'd like you to just begin coming clean before God and say, God, this is it. This is where I am. Come on, lift your hands and just speak to your God as a sign of receiving his mercy, as a sign of extending mercy to others. If Holy Spirit begins to point some people in your heart that you need to let go of, begin to ask Him for strength and grace to release people that you've held in your hearts for a long time. Maybe it is unconfessed and hidden sin in our lives that only you know about. And somehow it has been holding you back. And yes, you walk around, but you're not totally free because of it. Right now, it's time to receive mercy. It's time to confess our faults before Him. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank You. I thank You for Your mercy. I thank You for Your forgiveness. I thank You for Your kindness extended towards us. We deserve none of that. But because You love us so much, You have brought us to this day to hear this message. Because You want us to be free in our hearts, free from guilt and shame, free from holding people in our hearts. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Lord, I thank You that because of Your blood that was shed at Calvary, we are forgiven. Because of the power of the blood of Jesus, our past is erased. Because of the power of the blood of Jesus, we can extend mercy to others. We thank You, Lord, for the power in Your blood, for the power that brings forgiveness, for the power in the blood that brings redemption. And by faith, we confess we are forgiven by the power of the blood. By faith, we confess we can forgive others by the power of the blood. By faith, we confess that our past is erased by the power of the blood of Jesus. Come on, if you believe it, receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Come on, let's confess together. Forgiven. We are free. Come on. Celebrate His love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com. Hey, hey, hey.